Tonight, I'm going to give you the last part of the message that I started this morning. Four things to remember is my sermon title for today. And as the title implies, there's four things that I think every Christian should remember. I mentioned three of those things this morning. First one was remember what God has done for you. Every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father, which is above. And we can start with salvation. And we can dwell a long time on salvation. None of us would be saved without God doing what God did. None of us would have our sins forgiven. None of us would have a home in heaven without what Jesus did for us on Calvary. But it doesn't stop there. I mean, I believe the most important thing that God has done for us. But every good thing in our life, we need to remember that God has done that for us. And you say, well, preacher, how do you remember? Well, you use your memory. Hopefully you still have it. And I mentioned this morning that memory is an unusual thing. And we can remember things that happened years ago, and yet some of us can't remember what happened last week. And the way we remember what God has done for us is to think about them. Draw the information from, you know, those electrons that are going around in your brain that form memories, and think about what God has done. And if you have a hard time remembering, make you a list. Just make you a list, put it inside your Bible, and every time you open your Bible, it should be on a daily basis, every time you open your Bible, take that list and just run down it. God gave me my salvation. God gave me my family. God gave me, my spouse and my grandchildren, my children. You notice the order I put those in, my grandchildren and then my children. That we need to be grateful to God for everything that he's given. And so don't forget, don't take him for granted. You wouldn't have those things if it wasn't for the goodness of God, and we need to remember what he's done for us. And then I said, remember God's word, the Bible. It's his instruction manual. We talked about having an abundant life. Don't just skim the surface of life. Dwell deep in the things that God wants you to dwell deep in. His word is one of those things. And in this book, he tells us not only how much he loves us and tells us not only what he did to save us, but he tells us how he wants us to live our life while we walk on the face of this earth. And again, God doesn't just want us to skim the surface of life. He wants us to enjoy it. We're his children, and just like you as parents want your children and your grandchildren to have a good life and enjoy it, so our Heavenly Father has that same desire for us. And he tells us in this book how to have it. I had somebody go out this morning, preacher, I hear you talk about an abundant life, but boy, do I have a lot of problems in my life. And I said, praise God. He said, what do you mean, praise God? I said, hey, if you're a child of God, if you got problems in your life, that means God's trying to work something out in your life. It doesn't mean as a Christian to have that abundant life that we're always going to live on the mountaintop. Sometimes we'll go down in the valley. Sometimes our faith will be tested. That means that God knows we can handle the test and use that test to increase our faith. And so thank God for the Bible, that it tells us how to live and remember God's word. And then number three was remember what others have done for you. Carol testified about it. Kelly testified tonight. You can start with Christian parents, Christian grandparents. And again, God gave them to you, but what they did for you is priceless, is invaluable, to give you that kind of heritage. But he's put others in your life today. That perform kindnesses, do good things for you. Don't forget them. Just remember them, the things that others have done for you. Now, tonight, I'm going to add a fourth point, just one point tonight. Now, it's 6:30, lest you rejoice and say, we're going to be done by 6:45. Chantel, my daughter-in-law, came in tonight and said, we're going to have a short one tonight, aren't we? I said, what do you mean a short one? A short service, you know, it's cold and we need to get home. I said, no, people come all this way to church through this slush. They deserve to get their money's worth. We're going to be here till 7:30, 8 o'clock tonight. No, that's not true. That's not true. We'll get out at our normal time, but I'm not going to cut it short. You came. You need to hear what God wants you to hear. I heard a sermon this week on the radio. It was a sermon on overreacting. overreacting, how we ought not to overreact. There was 8 points on what overreacting is, and there were 6 points on how to avoid it. 14-point sermon took 45 minutes. You see, you can always find somebody that's got it worse than you do, okay? We talked about memories this morning. We talked about how important memories are, how they can recreate emotions that we've had in the past, either good or bad, as those memories come back to mind. And we talked that how, because of some circumstance, either because of an injury or because of a sickness or because of just getting old and our electrons in our brains wearing out, that sometimes we can't remember things. Well, my point tonight is there are some things we ought to forget. There are some things that we ought not to remember. And so my fourth point in this message, four things to remember: remember what God has done for you. Remember God's word. Remember what others have done for you. Number four, remember to forget. Remember to forget. So tonight, I have 3 points. I'm going to give you 3 things that we ought to remember to forget. Number one, we ought to remember to forget our past sins and failures. Paul wrote in that verse that we read, verse 13, forgetting those things which are behind. Paul says, I choose not to remember my past. Now, again, let me just hasten to say, I think there are times we ought to remember our past. One of the ways that we can praise the Lord for our salvation is, like Brother Wayne testified tonight, we need to remember what sinners we were. We didn't deserve the love of God. Nobody does. He didn't love us and save us because we were better than anybody else or anything like that. It was because of his pure mercy and his pure grace that he saved us. For God so loved the world. And that's why. And so there are times that we ought to remember our past, to remember what God has brought us out of, to remember the condition that we were in before we got saved, to remember those things that were in our life before we got saved, that God helped us rid ourselves up. And so there are times we ought to remember our past, but there are times that we ought to remember to forget it. For example, like the Apostle Paul, he would say, hey, I chose to forget when I stood there and held the coats of those that were stoning Stephen. I chose to remember to forget the persecution that I wrought on Christ's church, where I arrested people and hauled them before the authorities and punished them and threw them in jail simply because they were Christians. I choose to forget when I had those letters in my pocket and I was on my way to Damascus to arrest Christians. Now, he remembered what happened on the road to Damascus because he talked about it every opportunity. Hey, I had letters in my pocket. I was going to arrest Christians. And Jesus Christ appeared to me on the road to Damascus. I saw that light. I heard that voice. I was blinded. I met Christ. He commissioned me, sent me into the city of Damascus to wait. But what Paul was saying, if I remembered how wicked a sinner I was, if I remember what I did to the church of Jesus Christ, if I remember those things and felt the guilt and the shame, I wouldn't do anything to serve God. And so he says, I choose to forget those things. I don't want my guilt to override me. I don't want my guilt to stop me from serving God. Peter, you remember Peter at the Last Supper. Jesus was talking about what was about to happen to him. And Peter looked at all the other disciples and said, Lord, if all these, and Jesus had warned them, hey, you're all going to forsake me. You're all going to leave. And Peter looked at the his peers, his counterparts that were sitting around that table with Jesus. And Peter said, Lord, if all the rest of these forsake you, never will I. I'll never forsake you. I'll go even as far as death with you. And Jesus said, Peter, before this night's over, you're going to deny that you even know me 3 times. Before the cock crows in the morning, you're going to deny me 3 times. Well, and I'm sure Peter said, no, not me. All these other guys, but not me. Well, you know the story. That's exactly what happened. Peter was hanging around with the wrong crowd, standing by the fire with the servants of the high priest. They ask him, well, you're one of Jesus' disciples, aren't you? No. We saw you in the garden, didn't we? Oh, no, it wasn't me. Well, your speech gives you away. You talk like somebody from Galilee. That's the way Jesus talks. You must be one of his disciples. And Peter said, no, I'm not. I don't know him. Curse, the Bible says. And the cock crowed. The cock crew, the Bible says. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Few days later, after the crucifixion, he got up one morning and told six or seven of the disciples that were with him, I'm going fishing. I don't think Jesus can ever use me again. How could he use somebody that didn't even acknowledge that I knew him? How could he use somebody that When I had an opportunity to testify for my master, for Jesus, my Savior, I didn't take the opportunity. I denied that I even knew him. How could he use somebody like me? That's what guilt does to us sometimes. And you know where it comes from? It comes from the old wicked devil. The devil plants that thought in our mind. God can't use you. Look what a mess you've made of your Christian life. Look at all the opportunities you've let go past you. Look at the way you live your life. You're not even living your life like a Christian could. God can't use somebody like you. And that's what Satan will tell us. And he'll try to remind us of the past. He'll try to remind us of the things that we've fallen short in our service for God. And Peter said, God can't use me. I'm going fishing. Took some of the other disciples with him. And Jesus came to him that morning on the seashore. Called out as they were fishing. Said, have you any meat? Did you catch any fish? And old John, the beloved disciple, looked over at Peter and said, Peter, I think it's the master. I think it's Jesus. And you know the story as well as I do. Peter put his clothes on. He jumped into the sea and went to the shore. And sure enough, it was Jesus. He had a fire going. And he said, hey, bring me some fish. Let's have breakfast. And after breakfast, Jesus took Peter aside and said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. And Jesus said, go feed my sheep. What Jesus was saying, hey, even though you failed, even though you fell, even though you didn't stand for me when you had the opportunity to stand for me, I can still use you. I can still use you. I can still use you to preach the gospel. And a few days after that, Peter stood on the day of Pentecost and preached. 3,000 people got saved and baptized. A few days later, he and John preached again. 5,000 got saved and baptized. Don't let the past stop you from serving God today. All of our sins, listen to this, all of our sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. The sins that we committed before we got saved and the sins that we committed after we got saved, they're all under the blood. And that little chorus that we sing sometimes, gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free. It should be free of guilt. It should be free of regret. It should be free. And again, don't let Satan put guilt and regret in your soul. Now my soul is free, and in my heart's a song. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I shall reign eternally. Praise God, my sins are G-O-N-E, gone. If they're buried, let them stay buried. Don't dig them up. I read a story that I really liked about a little boy got found a stray cat, and the cat died. That's sort of why I like the story. But anyhow, the cat died. I shouldn't say things like that. But anyhow, the cat died. And so the little boy took it out in the backyard. buried it in the backyard. The next day, his mom was looking out the window, and the little boy was over near the grave of that cat, and the mom watched the little boy reach down and grab something, and it was the cat's tail, and he pulled it out of the ground. Then he spread the dirt and put it back in. His mom, when he came to the house, and said, "What were you doing out there?" And he said, "Mama, I just wanted to make sure that cat was still dead." So he said, "You noticed I didn't bury the tail. I'm going to do that every day just to make sure it's dead." That's what we as Christians do sometimes. God has buried our sins in the deepest part of the sea. And what do? We go pull the tail and say, "Yep, they're still buried." Leave them buried. Just leave them buried. God's put them there for a reason. He put them there so that we won't look at them. And again, praise God, he saved us from our sins. But if we're not careful, our failures and our sins from the past will cause us to quit serving God. Satan will make sure. He'll do his best to use that. So remember to forget. Remember to forget our past sins, our past failures. Number two, remember to forget the sins and failures of others. Hebrews 10:17, the Lord said, "And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." I've had a lot of discussions with people. They say, "Preacher, I know that verse cannot be true." I said, "What do you mean it can't be true?" "Because God's God. God can't forget anything. If he was really God, how could he forget people's iniquities and remember them no more?" Now, many of you have computers, and you know when we put information into computers that it stays there. I mean, most of the time when we try to erase it, we think it's gone, but it's really still there. But if you call the maker of that computer, if you call the creator of that computer, they know how to completely wipe out the bits and the bytes that all that is stored on, okay? I mean, we can't do it just by hitting the delete button because it stays there in the background. But if you get the guy that made the computer, if you get the guy that put it together, he knows how to go in and completely erase the memory of a computer so that you won't find the stuff that you won't want delete. You will never find it again on that computer. It just ceases to exist. It's like it never existed at all. It's been erased. It cannot be recovered. That's exactly what God did to our sins with the blood of Jesus Christ. He's God. And yes, I understand that God, if he's God, will never forget unless God chooses to forget. And that's what God says. "I have chosen to forget," he talks better than I do. "I have chosen to forget their sins and their iniquities. I put it under the blood of Jesus Christ. I remember it no more." I've told you before, I can picture the scene in heaven when Satan goes to God and accuses me like he did Job. God was bragging on Job and said to Satan, "Have you seen my servant Job? He hates evil and he lives right." And Satan said to God, "Well, he only does that because you put a hedge of protection around him. And you let me attack him, and you'll see what Job does." And again, you know the story of Job. I don't need to tell you. But I can picture in my mind the scenes in heaven when Satan goes to God and accuses me. "Hey, God, did you see what Manning did? Did you see what he didn't do that he should have done? Did you see what he did that he shouldn't have done? Did you see all that? He's a sinner. He's a bad person." God said, "Nope, I didn't see that." "Surely you had to see that. You're God. Surely you had to see that." And God says, "Nope. His sins and iniquities will I remember no more. They're under the blood of my Son. Jesus paid for them." I stand before God tonight, and so do you if you're a Christian, justified in the sight of God, just as if I never sinned. Just as if I'd never sinned. because God has chosen to forget my sins and my iniquities. Now, if a holy God remembers to forget, if a holy God has erased our sin record, then shouldn't I do the same thing? If God's forgiven you and God's forgiven me and forgotten our sins, shouldn't we do the same for each other? Shouldn't we as Christians not hold other people accountable for the sins that God has forgiven? Now again, if somebody's living wrong, sometimes God uses us to rebuke them. Sometimes God uses us to encourage them. Sometimes God uses us to stir them up into love and good works. But there's too many Pharisees in the Christian army. There's too many Pharisees in the church that will never forgive anybody of anything. Things that have happened years and years ago that God has forgiven and forgotten, they still remember. And they still hold other people accountable. We need to say like Jesus, I'm going to choose to forget. I'm going to remember to forget. I'm going to let that person get on with their life serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to get on with mine. I'm not going to remember their sins. I'm not going to keep throwing it up in their face. So we need to remember to forget our past sins. We need to remember to forget others' past sins and failures. And then number three, now listen closely to this. We need to remember to forget the good things we've done, the past victories, and the past accomplishments. We need to remember to forget those things. Now, again, there are times when we do need to remember those things because it reminds us of how God has been good to us and has used us in his service. But let's not allow our service to God to become past tense. Don't just say, I used to teach Sunday school. I used to witness. I used to tithe. I used to come to church every time the door was open. The old Methodist preacher, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., said, keep your testimony fresh. Keep your testimony fresh. Keep your service fresh. Don't rest on the past. Don't point to the past. We need to start afresh each day to serve Jesus. And think about it this way. If today was the whole of your life, and God took you to heaven at the end of today, and today was the whole of your life, would he be able to say to you as you entered the gate of pearl, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over little. You can now rule over much. Enter thou in to thy rest. If today was the whole of our life, and we went to heaven at the end of today, could God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? That needs to be our testimony. Yes, thank God for the past victories. Thank God for how he's used us in the past. But we don't want our testimonies to be, I used to, or I did in the past. What have you done for Jesus today? Let's think about that. Let's focus on that. Proverbs 27, verse 2 says, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth. Let's forget what we've done in the past. Let's set out to serve God today. So, remember what the good things, remember the things that God has done for you, good and bad. I don't want to say just remember the good things. Everything that God does for us is good, whether we put them in the good category or not. So remember the things that God has done for you. Remember his word. Remember the good things that other people have done for you. And then remember to forget. Forget your own past sins and failures. Forget the sins and failures of others. And then forget some of the good things so you'll serve God today. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the instruction that it gives us, for the encouragement that it gives us. And I pray tonight that, Holy Spirit, you would take what you laid on my heart and you would put it into people's lives and you would work it for good. There are some things that we ought to remember. There are some things we ought to forget. Give us wisdom to do that. Help us to remember the good things that you've done and the things that others have done for us. Help us to remember the Bible, but help us to forget where we failed you so that our past and our guilt doesn't stop us from serving you today. I pray if there's somebody here tonight that's never asked Christ to be their Savior, Holy Spirit, you've dealt with them over the past few minutes. You've helped them see their sin and how that sin separates them from you. And Father, that there's nothing that they can do to pay for that sin, but they don't need to because Jesus paid for it all on Calvary. And if they simply believe in their hearts that he died for them, died to pay for their sins, and then receive it, you'll make them one of your children. So again, if there's just one here tonight that needs to do that, help them to make that decision. Most of us here tonight are Christians. Help us to remember what we ought to remember and to forget what we ought to forget. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.